Words don't just describe our world, they actively construct it. When you speak, you're not merely communicating, you're shaping reality itself. This profound insight forms the foundation of S.I. Hayakawa's Language in Thought and Action, a work that has influenced everyone from comedians like George Carlin to visionaries like Steve Jobs. But why does this matter? In an age of information warfare and media manipulation, understanding how language molds our perception has never been more crucial. Think about how easily a single tweet can spark outrage, or how changing a few words in a news headline completely alters your emotional response to a story. These aren't accidents, they're demonstrations of language's extraordinary power to define what we perceive as real. The book emerged during World War II, when propaganda's devastating effects were impossible to ignore. Hayakawa recognized that the battle for human minds begins with language. What makes his approach revolutionary is how he bridges academic linguistics with everyday experience. Rather than getting lost in theoretical abstractions, he shows how these principles operate in our daily conversations, political debates, and even internal thoughts. By understanding these mechanisms, we gain something invaluable: the ability to think more clearly in a world designed to confuse us. Words are merely symbols, arbitrary sounds representing aspects of reality. Like maps that can't capture every landscape detail, no word completely describes what it references. We easily mistake words for the things they represent. A woman once became inconsolable when a fictional soap opera baby died, despite her healthy child named after the character. Daily, we argue about definitions, as if words had fixed meanings rather than flexible labels. This confusion extends to entire belief systems. People navigate life according to mental maps filled with superstitions that poorly reflect actual territories, planning by astrological predictions, or making decisions based on outdated stereotypes. The consequences can be severe. Nations war over interpretations of sovereignty. Relationships collapse over differing definitions of respect. Companies fail when executives confuse financial reports, maps, with actual business performance, territory. Developing what Hayakawa calls consciousness of abstracting, awareness that our words are always abstractions, never reality itself, enhances language by keeping us mindful of its limitations. Remember, the map is not the territory. That's just semantics, dismisses what's actually crucial. Semantics is everything. When communicating, we navigate Hayakawa's abstraction ladder between concrete descriptions and general concepts. The ladder starts with direct experience. Bessie the cow, you observe. Moving up, cow, ignoring individual traits. Livestock, grouping with chickens. Farm assets, assets, and finally, wealth, far removed from mooing Bessie. Each upward step involves abstracting, omitting characteristics to avoid being overwhelmed by infinite particulars. Problems arise with dead-level abstracting. Some fixate on low levels, reciting endless details without conclusions. Others remain in high abstractions, speaking vaguely about truth or justice without examples. Healthy thinking requires moving freely between levels, generalizing from specifics and applying principles to situations. When someone claims all politicians are corrupt, ask for examples. When hearing about incidents, consider broader patterns. Effective definitions point downward toward concrete examples. Red is the color of fire trucks and tomatoes. That movie was terrible. Fact or opinion? Hayakawa distinguishes between reports, statements about observable reality, and judgments, expressions of approval/disapproval, a distinction crucial for clear thinking. Reports describe verifiable observations. The temperature is 72 degrees. These can be checked against evidence and typically generate agreement. At their best, they become scientific statements useful across political divides. Judgments express feelings about observations. It's a beautiful day. Though often disguised as reports, judgments reveal more about the speaker than the subject. Jack's keys fell out, report, versus Jack lied to us, judgment, illustrates this difference. Student essays beginning with judgments like "he was a typical Wall Street executive" substitute stereotypes for specifics. Even without explicit judgments, reports contain implied evaluations through detail selection or slanting. The same person can be described with a face covered with grime or clear eyes that looked straight ahead. Complete impartiality is impossible, but awareness of how words evoke feelings improves communication. "I failed the test" differs from "I am a failure." Recognizing this difference is essential for psychological health. Ever wonder why we discuss weather with strangers? Language extends beyond information transfer, blending symbolic content with pre-symbolic elements that express our internal states and build social bonds. Human language evolved from animal-like cries. We still express our condition first, "ow," before reporting, "my tooth hurts." Tone often conveys more than words. We can say, "I hope you'll come again," while clearly indicating the opposite. Most conversations serve social rather than informative purposes. At gatherings, we discuss weather or sports to establish communion, selecting subjects where agreement builds togetherness through shared opinions. Hayakawa, a Japanese-American during World War II, once diffused suspicion at a train station through simple weather conversation, transforming hostility into sympathy. Pre-symbolic language maintains existing connections, too. Friends continue talking even without substantial content, like operators sending test signals to keep lines open. This explains requests to talk despite having nothing to say. While actions demonstrate love, verbal exchange verifies our communication channels remain functional. Words both inform and evoke feelings. In communication, we face a double task: selecting words with correct informative meaning and appropriate emotional impact. Affective elements include tone, rhythm, and emotional aura. Rhythm captures attention even when unwanted, explaining why political slogans and advertisements use rhyme despite being informationally weak. Words carry both informative connotations, agreed-upon meanings, and affective connotations, emotional responses. Referring to someone as "that gentleman," "that individual," or "that bozo" reveals different feelings toward the same person. Businesses exploit these emotional dimensions in naming. Gift shop suggests antiquity. Men's clothing brands use British-sounding names, and perfumes choose French names. The same facts can express dramatically different emotions: French armies in rapid retreat versus "the retirement of French forces was accomplished briskly." Words with powerful affective connotations often hinder clear communication. This double task explains translation difficulties and why skilled communicators must master both informational accuracy and emotional resonance. Words don't just describe the world, they change it. Commands and requests make things happen, with most directives implicitly promising outcomes. "Vote for me and taxes will decrease." The critical question is whether these promises can be kept, as broken ones erode trust. Society functions through mutual agreements, promises not to harm each other, follow rules, and exchange goods for payment. These agreements predict future events we commit to creating. Without them, we'd live in isolation. With them, cooperation becomes possible. When we say "my car," what changes are our social agreements about the object? Society recognizes ownership rights and protects intentions. All ownership assertions are essentially directives. "This is mine" means "I will use this, you keep away." Since words have limitations, promises in directive language are merely outlines. Distinguishing between directive and informative utterances helps us evaluate claims realistically and recognize manipulation.